Well, it's about 9 in the morning, so we are right on track with the apostles. That's when Peter got up to preach on Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit descended upon them, there's a sound like a loud rushing wind, like a driving wind, and what appeared as tongues of fire rested over the heads of all present. And then Peter gets up and he starts preaching. Everybody, he gets up and he says, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." Which, as you know, is a weak argument, but they thought that the apostles were drunk. They thought that the Christians were drunk. Some of them did. Why would they think that? Well, they were so overcome by the presence and the power of God's love for them that, I don't know, maybe they were just filled with so much love. I don't know why. I don't want to suggest that they were staggering around or something like that, but this was a powerful experience of God that was something that, and many of us can say we've had something that felt so incredible. Some might call it the sober intoxication of the Spirit. The not having anything to do with alcohol, intoxication of God's love for us. When we receive that, it's so awesome. It's so great. There's nothing better. And we desire more of that. And the Lord wants to pour His Holy Spirit out upon us. And that means many good gifts for us. But above all, it means the Father's love for us. That we can receive how much He loves us. And we can know it not just here, but almost as it were to experience it. I think actually it is, as it were, to experience it. And it's important and necessary that we have faith. We always have to have faith until heaven, and then we don't anymore. But we have to have faith in this life. But there is a sense in which our faith leads us into actual experience or actual encounter. Just a taste in this life. But that is enough. And that Holy Spirit, which gets poured out upon the apostles, fills them with courage. They're no longer afraid of what anybody thinks. Before they received the Holy Spirit, they were locked in a room trying not to get arrested. After they received the Holy Spirit, they are preaching out to the world regularly, being arrested. I mean, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, everybody gets arrested. If you didn't get arrested, it's like you weren't even really one of the Christians anymore. Everyone's getting thrown in jail, and they're counting it all joy. They're saying, "This is wonderful." How could they have that attitude? How could they be so set free from the fear of what would happen to them or the fear of what people would think about them? Well, it's because they received the Spirit of adoption. We heard in the second reading, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father." We call God Dad, even Abba, really, it's kind of like what a little kid would say, like an intimate word for father, like daddy. We call Him our Father. And it's the Holy Spirit who tells us who we are. And then each and every one of us who have been baptized have received the grace of adoption as a son or a daughter of God. And when we receive the Holy Spirit more and more profoundly, as the Lord wants to pour out His Holy Spirit on the church, we are reminded of our identity as His sons and daughters. And that identity is deepened in us. And that is the core of who we are. And we need that to be the core of who we are as we see ourselves. Partly because if we place our identity in something else, it won't really be as firm a foundation. For instance, when I was younger, I remember that I was really, really good at school. That was my thing. I was good at school. I could get straight A's. I was okay in sports. I thought I was really good, but that's just because I went to a really small school where there wasn't as much talent. But I was really good in school. And I had, in my identity, that's who I was. Well, I'm the guy who gets really good grades, and I'll probably go to the Air Force Academy. Probably be a fighter pilot. It's no big deal. And that's how I would present myself. That's what I valued about myself. That was my identity. One of my brothers, he was really good at guitar. He was really funny. He'd write all the funny songs and play them at like talent shows and stuff. And I don't know if he was placing his identity in that, but that's another example. Especially, I think these things are easier to notice when we're younger. But they don't necessarily go away when we're older. Also, some place their identity in sports. Really good at sports. That could be something we sort of, I'm vested in this. And the Lord doesn't want, he certainly wants us to use all of our gifts and talents to his glory, to the fullest. And be as good as we can at sports or school or writing funny songs and making people laugh. Those are good gifts, but we wrongly place our identity in those things. We wrongly place our identity in anything else that has to do with success or accomplishments or how the world sees us, but simply our identity must be first and foremost that we are a son or a daughter of God, his beloved, through our baptism. That's how that happens. It's through baptism. And when we more and more profoundly receive the Holy Spirit and know who we are in him, we know we belong to him, and so we don't need to belong to the world. And we can go out and be different from the world. We can live our faith with courage. We can even preach at times and not need to belong to the people that we're reaching out to. We love them. We want them to belong to God as we do. We don't need to belong to the world. That's why the apostles weren't afraid. I'm not saying they weren't afraid at all, but that's why fear, they didn't fall back into fear. They weren't overcome by fear. Why? They knew who they belonged to, and they wanted to honor God. And so when they would go out into the world, they could honestly love the world with that kind of love that where we don't need anything from that person. I don't need to use you so I feel like I belong. I already belong, and I want you to belong as well. Jesus often speaks of his apostles and disciples as not belonging to this world. How can that be? Because we all have this ingrained human need for belonging. If we don't fill that need for belonging with our belonging to God, we will conform to the world because we want to belong somewhere. That's how God's made us, to belong. But this identity rooted in him, that's why we have the courage to go out and to say, with total love, whatever the Holy Spirit might lead us to say. Pentecost is the time where we are, as a church, we remember and we're entering more deeply into the mystery that God sent his Holy Spirit upon us through our baptism and confirmation. He sent his Holy Spirit upon us and sent us out. He says, go, teach, baptize, preach the gospel, you know, feed the hungry. Go, there's this mission. I want you to go out into the world. And the number one reason that I hear, and I would say it's the same number one reason for myself, the number one reason why we don't go out and preach the gospel or live our faith sometimes or where we're afraid to, I don't know. When I say preach the gospel, I simply mean talk about our faith. Or maybe it means even to pray with somebody. The number one reason why we don't, that I hear all the time, it's fear. What's the number one thing, I ask people, what's the number one thing that you think you need to go and witness to your faith? Courage. It's courage. And I would say the same for myself. But all of this is rooted in identity and where we belong. And if we know whose we are and who we're trying to honor, it changes things. The Holy Spirit changes things. And so all we simply need to do is to ask. To ask for the Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven desires to give us the Holy Spirit. It might say, well, we already received the Holy Spirit. I mean, in that same analogy of like chocolate sludge at the bottom of, you got milk, right? You know the milk analogy. I'm going to keep doing this until you make fun of me for saying it all the time. You got milk? What's better than milk? If you pour syrup into milk, is it chocolate milk? Because you have to? And that's kind of what it is when we receive the Holy Spirit. We say, come Holy Spirit. That's what we can't just say, oh yeah, I got baptized a long time ago. Well, there might be some dormant graces, some wonderful chocolate syrup that would bless the world, that we are need to ask, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to show me how to love or forgive or somehow invite this person to you. And we are reminded, when the Holy Spirit comes, we are reminded of the truth of our baptism, of what happened when you were probably a little baby, some of you older. I was 4. Probably like the median age is probably 4. Whatever. However old you were. You didn't know what happened when you were baptized. Unless you were an adult, maybe you did. But this is what happened. The Holy Spirit will remind you of who you are and whose you are. And you'll be able to go out with great joy and bless the world and love the world and carry out this mission that Jesus has given us to proclaim the good news to the whole world. Let's take a moment now, in silence, to ask for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in a driving wind and loud prayers, and also comes in silence and in the quiet of our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit.